As we dealt in the last few lessons, following Jesus without denominationalism begins by listening to the call of the gospel. We're told that the Lord calls us through His gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. And as we respond to that call, the Lord Himself adds us to His church, His called out group of people, not a man-made denomination. We see that being taking place in Acts 2, verse 41, and again in verse 47. But I also suggested that if we are to be simply Christians, members of the Lord's church, as we read about in the New Testament, then we have to simply follow the example of the early church who continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 and verse 42. The importance of this relates so closely to the subject of authority in religion. It is impossible to maintain unity unless we can agree upon a standard of authority. This is true in all areas of life. Imagine the confusion if we didn't have a standard of authority relating to weights and measures. We couldn't even agree on the length of a piece of rope, a link of chain, the volume of a tank of gasoline, and the list goes on. And if that were the case, then confusion would reign supreme in the marketplace if we didn't agree on one standard of authority in regards to things like weights and measures. So an essential key to having unity on any subject is this: we must accept and submit to the same standard of authority. This is especially true in matters of religion. If people can agree on the standard of authority in religious matters, then unity is possible when we submit to that same standard. There are other elements necessary to have unity, and we'll discuss that hopefully in a later lesson. But without a standard of authority upon which we all must agree, unity is impossible. Now, what should be the standard of authority for the Lord's church? Let's begin with a point with which I am sure that everyone professing to be a Christian can agree upon. Jesus has been given all authority. That's what He claimed. He made this claim of authority in heaven and on earth that has been given to Him. In Matthew's account of the Great Commission, chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He therefore expects us to observe all things that He has commanded. And then Matthew leads into the Great Commission, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So His apostles taught this very same thing, that He is the head of the body, that is the church, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And as such, we are to submit to Him, Christ, in everything, Ephesians 5, verses 23 and 24. Now, if Jesus were on the earth today, we could solve all religious questions by simply asking Him. But since He's not on the earth, what then? This leads us to our next point. Jesus has delegated His authority to His apostles. To receive Christ, we must accept His apostles. Jesus taught this in John chapter 13 and verse 20. And we note there that the word apostle means one who was sent out, one sent. So just as Jesus speaks of whomever I send, He has particular reference to His apostles. The apostles were sent as ambassadors for Christ. It's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And so the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Again, Acts 2 and verse 42. So to ensure reliability, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. The Spirit would teach the apostles all things and reminded them of what Jesus had already spoken to them. John 14 verse 26. In John 16, verses 12 and 13, he said the Spirit would guide them into all truth. Now, the Holy Spirit guided them into all truth. Paul said he had taught the whole counsel of God when he met with the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 27. Peter wrote that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. So, the apostles were given all the truth, and Christ wanted us to know. If the apostles were on the earth today, we simply ask them to settle any religious differences. But again, they're not here. So where do we go? In the New Testament, the apostles have written what Christ wants us to know. Here we have what the apostles were given by the Holy Spirit. Paul explained this in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." So Paul wrote that when we read his writings and the other apostles' writings, we can have the same understanding that they had. Peter wrote in his letter, in his epistles, that we might also be reminded. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." So in the New Testament, we have the commandments of Christ himself. Paul made this very clear in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. Peter confirmed the same thing in his writings, that they were from Scripture. They were to be considered Scripture. 2 Peter 3 verses 15 and 16. So when we have questions about what the Lord would have us to do, we don't have to ascend to heaven and find the answer. We don't have to ask Jesus personally nor his apostles. We just simply turn to what they have written, the New Testament. Now, in the New Testament, it is a collection of the apostles' doctrine. It is a library, if you will. And this is where we can turn to learn the will of Jesus, given through his selected and inspired ambassadors, the apostles. But this raises other questions, doesn't it? If the New Testament is a complete guide for us today, is it sufficient? Yes, the New Testament is a complete, all-sufficient guide. And it must be complete, for the faith has been revealed once for all, according to Jude verse 3. That phrase, once for all, literally means one time for all time. We cannot expect further revelation in the future. The writings of the apostles as collected in the New Testament, are all that we have. They're all that we're going to receive. Now, our job is to not look for further revelation, but to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, according to the apostles themselves, these writings or scriptures are really sufficient. They are all that we need, sufficient to make one complete, furnished unto every good work these scriptures that are God-breathed or inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 that they provide all that we need to enjoy both life and godliness. But we can only have that by listening and paying attention to the writings of these apostles. And we will have the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 verses 8 and 9, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure mind by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. An abundance will be supplied. An abundant entrance will be supplied into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we do what the New Testament tells us." Peter would also write in the next few verses in 2 Peter 1, in verses 10 and 11, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, work harder to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are left with God's providence and His Word. Paul prepared the elders of the church at Ephesus for his departure, and he commended them to God and the word of His grace," Acts 20 and verse 32. "He didn't instruct them to appoint apostles to take His place. And he did not instruct them to look for further revelation, because Paul had already proclaimed the whole counsel of God to them," Acts 20 and verse 27. "He simply told them to do two things, directed them to two places, to God Himself, for God's divine providence, and to the word of God's grace, that word which had already been revealed by the Apostle Paul himself. These two blessings, Paul was confident, were able to do two things, and they were sufficient to build them up and to give them an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So the New Testament then is how Christ speaks to us today. He leads us to everlasting life through His New Testament. It's all we need. We don't need what Pastor so-and-so says, Reverend so-and-so, or the priest of any particular congregation. What we need is the Word of Christ. And it's through the writing of the apostles, in other words, the apostles' doctrine, that Christ speaks to us and directs His church today. It is the apostles' doctrine that is the standard of authority in matters of religion. And it is the apostles' doctrine that we must continue steadfastly in, Acts 2 and verse 42. And there's more to be said about authority in religion, and maybe we'll be able to cover some of that in our next lesson. But I hope that our attitude is such that what was said about the Thessalonians can also be said of us. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Is that your attitude toward the apostles' doctrine? I pray that it is, because that's all we have. That's all we need. Thank you for listening this morning, and I hope to be back with you again next Lord's Day morning.